Amen. Well, second week of Advent, we light the candle of peace. And hopefully this week we'll bring you peace. Hopefully last week brought you some peace. Hopefully you guys dug into the hope. Last week we talked about fear not his promise. And we kind of discovered a little bit what his promise was, right? That his promise is over you. His promise is that he will bring his son, the Messiah. His promise is that, yeah, we might be in a waiting room, but his promise is always fulfilled. And we discussed the waiting room a little bit, what that means to be in a waiting room and how to kind of sit in that peace of the Lord. It's not easy, right? A lot easier said than done to sit there and wait on the Lord, but his promise will be fulfilled. I think of it this way, in that waiting room, I was going to use the analogy of a doctor's office because we've all sat in a dentist or a doctor's office, but that felt a little too on the nose. But I'm going to use it today because it's on the nose and it works great. But we're in the waiting room, right? We're sitting there. You've all sat in the doctor's office. You've read the magazines from 7 years ago, right? The old news. And you're like, man, this is great, right? And you're just waiting. And if you've ever been to a Kaiser Permanente, I don't know, California, they're always running behind, always, right? And I found out the reason why. We called, we asked the questions, and it's because they allot every person 15 minutes with their doctor. That's it. That's all the doctor gets. So if you don't have just a simple, like, here's your prescription, or a simple, like, good job, like, go, you know, wait it out, go drink some tea or whatnot, then all of a sudden they start to get behind. And you're sitting there, and you show up 15 minutes before your appointment, and you're in the waiting room listening to the jazz, the muzak, right, on the radio, and you're reading the magazines. You're like, all right, my appointment's coming here soon. And then you wait again and again, and usually they're about an hour to an hour and a half off. That's normal, right? Like, you can go there and predict, I'm not going to be 15 minutes early. I'm going to be 30 minutes late. Just because you know that the waiting is going to take forever. But today, when we talk about this, fear not his proclamation, the nurse comes out of the door and she calls your name. Michael, is that me? Right? Is that the guy next to me? And you're ready. You're ready to go. Can you guys picture that? Are you guys with me in that waiting room? That the nurse just come out and announce your name and you're like, finally, I can get this over with, or I can get back to life, right? If it's the dentist, I usually don't like it when they call my name. But we like announcements. We like this. So here we are, the second week of our Fear Not series, of Fear Not His Proclamation. Proclamation is his announcement. What is the announcement? Obviously, you guys can predict what we're going to be talking about these weeks because it's the coming birth of Jesus, right? But his proclamation is something that the Lord is announcing over you. The Lord is announcing for you. And that's where we want to dig in today. Last week, we talked about Isaiah 40, and we talked about those promises. This week, I want you guys to turn to Matthew 1. We're going to talk about Matthew 1. We are going to bounce back and forth between Matthew 1 and Luke 1. So if you want to find those passages and then put your fingers there, hold your thumb in Luke 1, that's where we're at. We're going to go to Matthew 1. To kind of prepare us, a town crier. A town crier is somebody back in medieval times, and they would come out and they'd say, hear ye, hear you. It was the person that came in after the trumpet. And then that person would come and say, hear ye, I have a proclamation from the king, right? And everybody, if they were in earshot of that town crier who was loud, would stop what they were doing to listen to the proclamation of the king. The trumpet sounded, yes, and they would get excited. What is the king going to announce? Is there going to be a big banquet? Am I going to be invited? Right? What's going to happen? And that would raise their attention, the town crier. Hear ye, right? We like that phrase, hear ye. I say it and I'm like, this is fun. I wish I lived in the medieval times. I think I would want to be the town crier as long as I didn't have to wear the puffy pants. But that is what I would want to do. I would want to be the town crier. The town crier is the cry in the wilderness. In biblical terms, that town crier is John the Baptist, right? In Isaiah 40, we read, as we turn back, flip back to 40 with me. I know I told you, keep your thumb on Matthew 1. You can do it. All right? Back in Isaiah 40, verse 3, we get, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." As we dig into Isaiah's 40, a cry in the wilderness, we waited. Isaiah, all the way to the genealogy of Jesus, Matthew 1, it kicks off right there. And who is that person, that Messiah? We read in Isaiah that it's going to come from the line of David. And Matthew brings forth the line. He talks about the genealogy and he brings forth that line. Here he is. And then we get the announcement in Matthew 1, not to Mary first, to her husband. He gets the first one. And so here we are in Matthew 1. We get, "Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will free his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.'" It's time. They've waited. The announcement has come. But the announcement didn't come just quite yet, as we talked about the town crier. The announcement was quiet. The announcement was quiet to Mary. It was quiet to Joseph. I'm sure Joseph had a little bit of fear in there, right? He was just told that his wife was with child. I don't know about you dads, right? We talked about mothers just a moment ago, and Jeff needed to dad. He couldn't be a mom, and we were dads, right? You're a dad. And dads, take me back, right? All the way to when your first child was born. Then take a couple steps farther when your wife came in and she said, "I'm pregnant." I'll never forget my first announcement, Preston. Sabine and I were just freshly married, right? I had a plan, and the plan needed to go my way because I'm the man of the house, right? 3 years, we are going to be childless for 3 years. We are going to tour the world. We are going to gather riches and wealth and have a house. We were going to be prepared for our son, right? You guys hear that? You hear that from, if you have older children and they haven't had children yet, or those young people, they're like, "I'm not going to be married until I'm ready," or "I'm not going to have kids until I'm ready." We just married a young couple. They're like, "We won't have kids until we're ready." And I out loud laughed, and I didn't mean to, but I was like, "Pah, sorry, I don't want to squash your dreams and hopes. You will never be ready for a child. You just won't be. The Lord will prepare you when you're ready to be prepared for a child." That's what happens. But going back to the announcement, I remember I was down in LA and I was working and I was in Disneyland, California, and we were doing a presentation there. I was directing something. And I was down in the green room, which is like 3 stories underground in Disneyland. And I was there, and all of a sudden, as I was coming up to finish my directing, my phone buzzed. All of my texts started to come through. And I'm looking at my phone, and it's Sabina. I was like, "Oh my goodness, that's a lot of texts for my wife. What's happening?" Because she's home alone back in the apartment. And I was concerned. And so I stopped my crew, and I was like, "Hang on, you guys go. I need to take this call." And so I stepped out, and she called me crying. And I was like, what's happening? Do I need to go home? Do I need to get on a flight right now?" She goes, "No, I'm pregnant." And I was like, "No, you're not. I can remember it right now. There's no way. There's a way, but there's, no, you're not." The fear, like I have a visceral memory now. Like I have chills in my body. Like I remember feeling weak in the knees, hot in the back of the neck. Everything went blurry. Like, am I getting pranked? Like, there's no way. Your body must be lying to you. It's the birth control that's telling you that's a positive. That's that No, it's not. It has to be. Please tell me I'm right. She goes, I've taken the test 10 times. And I remember just sitting there and she was crying. And I was like, I'm not ready. Like, I'm not ready for it. And from that not ready, I didn't know what to do. Like, the whole rest of the day was a fog. Like, I can remember the day vividly up to that point. And then afterwards, there was nothing. Like, I've got nothing to pull out. And to have an announcement of a baby is a wonderful and glorious thing. But I can attest to what Joseph is feeling right here. That fear, it's not just like a, oh no, she's pregnant and that's crazy, right? She might have, you know, had a baby with somebody else and it wasn't me, so I'm going to divorce her. There's a fear of like, what am I going to do? Is it mine? It can't be mine, right? We haven't been together yet. What's happening here, right? And the confusion into all this matter. And then the angel says, don't worry, it's from the Lord. That right there would take me up another level of fear. Like, what do you mean it's from the Lord? Like, how is this work? Like, what is going on? Lord, help me. And the calming point, that should be the calming point that the angel said, you're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to free his people from our sins. And that's the announcement that he's been waiting for. Because Joseph wasn't sitting around. He wasn't one of the Israelites that was sitting in the waiting room that was waiting till past time, right? That forgot that he was in the waiting room. That forgot that he was waiting for the doctor or the dentist. He knew exactly what he was waiting for, and he was waiting for the Messiah to be born. He was a young Jewish man, an Israelite. He had Isaiah pretty much memorized. He knew what it said. He knew how this would happen. And all of a sudden, the angel confirms and settles that fear with the announcement, the proclamation. You're going to name him Jesus. I got that picked out for you. Secondly, when he is older, he is going to free his people from their sins. Now, switch to a different kind of fear. I have to father the Lord. I have to raise Jesus, Emmanuel, the Messiah, the Savior. I've never been a dad before. What does that mean? How do I interact with my son, knowing that he is God the Father? Knowing that he is the Messiah. Do you wrap him in bubble wrap? Right? Because Jesus was a five-year-old. I'm pretty sure he ran out there in the fields and went rock climbing, and he had a fun. He had a childhood. He didn't. As we know, he grew up to be a full-fledged man, and a great man at that. And that announcement that we got, that proclamation that the promise is finally being fulfilled. It happened in his generation. It happened in his time. What a great announcement. What a perk up from the hear ye, make way in the desert. Right? That was pretty cool. Next, we get, she will bear a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. The proclamation we get to Mary goes a little bit different. So flip over to Luke 1. Hopefully you kept your thumb there. We are in Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. In the beginning, Mary gets this announcement. She gets the proclamation. She gets told, you are with child. I am not a mom. I don't know what it means to read that pregnancy test right away and feel that fear. I'm sure all the moms in the room, you know what that felt like. There might be jubilation there. There might be confusion. There might be wonderment, like, wow, this is happening, right? She has a bit of confusion here. As we read on, it says, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?'" What? What do you mean I'm with child? I am not with child. There's no way. I haven't laid with a man yet. This can't be. And the confusion and the thoughtfulness and the questions roll around in the announcement. Hear ye, Mary. You are with the Most High. You are going to mother the child of God. And in her heart, she was troubled. She was trying to discern what all this meant. There's a high confusion here. She's wrestling with this announcement from Gabriel. She's not really sure what goes on. And as we read on, we see this kind of, I call it the Sally Field acting. Yes, you guys know who Sally Field is? Yeah? And all of a sudden, she goes through every emotion in the book, in every movie. You can turn on any movie you like of Sally Field, and she'll have a moment to where she cries, she's mad, she's angry, she's confused, she's all of it, right? The dictionary of all of the emotions. And it's Sally Field's key, it's her thing that she does. And I see this in Mary, right? Maybe not as dramatic as Sally Field, but all of a sudden you get, and the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born and will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." She didn't sit there and have a conversation with Gabriel. She didn't have a back to forth, "I can't be." The confusion was internal. She was discerning these things. But at the end, she knew what was right. She knew, "I have the Messiah. The waiting is over." Her hear ye, her nurse came in and called her name. And she wasn't just sleeping while she was waiting. She was waiting with bated breath. She was anticipating the announcement. She didn't know the announcement was going to be with her, and that was that confusion. Like, me? What? Why me? Are you sure? Are you sure? I'm a virgin. I'm not a mother. I don't know how to mother. I don't know how to do these things. Really, you want me to be the mother of the Savior? This is not how we predicted this to happen. We predicted him to come down in fire and in light and in glory from heaven. Not quietly through me. But she didn't fight back and forth. She didn't have that discussion. At the end, she said, "Since you have said it so, I am grateful. I am excited." There's still that confusion. That didn't quell the confusion, right? Just because you accept something that's been announced, something that might confuse you, doesn't mean that you understand it. You accept it, and you go with it, just like our children. Right? If we said, "Hey, get in the car, we're going somewhere," most of our kids are like, "Sweet, go in." If you have somebody like we do, like a Heartland, right, who is very inquisitive and asks all the questions, I mean, all of them, even though I've just said the answer, she will ask the question again. She will get in the car and say, "Where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? It's a surprise. Can I know?" "No, it's a surprise. Where are we going?" Honey, it's a surprise. Right? Like, it's a surprise, and the questions go. But most of their kids get in, and they get excited. They accept what's going on. They might be confused, but they accept what's going on. They don't need to understand it. There's different ways of that acceptance, and Mary takes it into the acceptance and says, "Since you have said it so, I am excited. Let it be." And the angel said no more and went on about his way. In our next proclamation, we see Elizabeth and her acceptance of the announcement. And let's read on. We say, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. As we see this greeting from Mary to Elizabeth, we see another proclamation happen. Mary came in. Now, we don't know what Mary said. She said, "Hey, cousin, I'm pregnant," right? That's usually probably not the greeting that she has when she walks into Elizabeth's house. But as she walked in, the greeting, and when that greeting hit Elizabeth's ears, she was excited and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord was present at that time. And because the Lord was present, Elizabeth was excited and John was excited. The baby leapt in her womb, leaped, right? At this time, she was 6 months pregnant. She knows the difference between a little kick, a little bladder push, right? A little flutter. Like, the baby leapt. She knew this. I'm going to get in that semantics in the sense that the baby leapt for joy. John was so excited, the fact that he could announce something. It wasn't going to be, hear ye, the proclamation of the king is blank. It's hear ye, make way, the paths, for the Lord is near. He gets to fulfill his promise of his life, to be the town crier, to be the one that announces the Lord. And through this, you see that excitement happen. Mary didn't just stand up and say, "Greetings, my cousin." No, what did she say? It said, "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry." They were so excited. And it wasn't like a held back excitement. It says in the Bible, "And she exclaimed." When the Bible gives you details like that, you read them. You hold them tight. The Bible doesn't give you a lot of details in that essence. It doesn't give you the pictorial details or the details of a human or what they were wearing. And when it does, you have to perk up and you've got to start to listen. And so when you read, "And she exclaimed, behold," all of a sudden you should hear the excitement, the happiness, the joy, the filled with the Holy Spirit. That is another level of excitement, guys. Like, when the announcement came, she just perked up. "Oh, is there a party I'm invited to?" She knew the party was for the Messiah. Like, she was ready for it. She was anticipating. And at the end of this, we get the reprise of the proclamation. In 42 through 45, we get that last part. And she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And you get that announcement again, "my Lord." Do you think Mary told her, "I am bearing the Son of God"? Or do you think Elizabeth knew, "You're bearing the Son of God"? Again, in the waiting room, last week we talked about, what are you doing with the waiting? Are you anticipating anything? Are you waiting with bated breath? Are you sitting on the edge of your seat for God to call your name? Or are you relaxed, reading the 15-year-old magazine? "I remember that. That was great times." And you're lost in history, and you're not waiting for the future to come. It's important that when you wait and you're in the waiting room, you're waiting for the announcement. You're waiting for the proclamation to be heard. And when the proclamation is given, are you ready to stand up and go? Or do you have to say, "Give me a second, I have to gather my things"? That's the point. Mary was ready. She might have been confused that she was chosen. Joseph was ready, highly confused that he was chosen. Elizabeth was excited, but also confused that she was chosen to be cousins, to be a part of that family. And if you're waiting with that bated breath, you're waiting with that anticipation. And as we get the opportunity to look into the future, we get the Bible. We're reading history. But for you, the proclamation over you is happening in real time. The Lord has proclaimed for you. He has announced you. He has called your name. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to take the call? Are you ready to even converse with the Lord when in your "Are you sure, Lord? Me?" Like, oh, he's like, "I'm with you. I chose you for a purpose." Your life is not purposeless. Your life is for a purpose. I designed you for a purpose, and now your purpose has come to call. Are you ready to do your purpose? And the cool part about this is that the Lord has proclaimed all of this for all of us. He has proclaimed his freedom over everybody. He has told us, you are set free. In Acts 13, 38 through 39, it says, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of hosts. Moses. The law is not going to free you. Doing the good deeds, doing the right thing, being a kind person, helping somebody in the holidays, being there during somebody's excitement, giving them a hug, or on the backside, being there for somebody's grief and giving them a hug. We're called to do that. But you are set free. The law of Moses, all the things that you need to be doing in order to be quote-unquote prepared won't set you free. Following Jesus, accepting him, being ready for the proclamation over your life sets you free. Therefore, dear brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Not to somebody else, not to the person around you, but to you. And that proclamation of freedom is what you want. It's why he came. It was announced to Joseph. It was announced to Mary. You will call him Jesus, and he will free his people from their sins. You are part of that family. As Mary was surprised to be chosen, as Joseph was surprised to be chosen, as Elizabeth was excited but also surprised to be chosen, you too have been chosen to be a part of that family. You are grafted into the family. I know I'm speaking to a lot of people that like to grow things, right? They like to garden, they like to farm, they like to do things. Grafting is a normal word. For those of us who know what grafting is, it's when you cut something, you open it up, don't correct me if I'm wrong, let me believe in my false, all right? And you take the branch and you put that in whatever tree you're going to graft into, and then you wrap it up tightly. From the guys I see online, they wrap it with saran wrap. Maybe there's other things, right? They wrap it with saran wrap, and they hold it, and that limb grafts itself. It becomes a part of that tree. Last week, we talked about that root system. In Isaiah, the tree of Israel gets cut all the way down, not stump grinded, to the stump. And from that stump is the holy seed. And as that holy seed grows, we know holy seed is Jesus. As that seed grows and you accept him, you accept this proclamation over your life, you graft into that tree. And you get to grow in that bloodline, in the name of Jesus. That is awesome. And what a joy that brings us. And what a peace that brings me. And the fact that I know that I'm part of that family, that I'm not on the outskirts trying to get in, that the Lord has cut a little splice just for me and taken my branch and put it into his. You are also adopted into sonship. You're not just part of the family, you're part of the root system. You're not just grafted into that tree, you're part of the whole thing. As we see in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That is an intimate term. You didn't just cry Abba, Father to anybody. To call somebody Father, to call somebody Abba, is not just a separate term. That is a term that we are given into our family. It's an intimate term that we get. You are adopted into sonship. As we're kind of running with that analogy of the town crier, the medieval times, in medieval times, when you are adopted, you cannot ever forsake that adopted child. I use this analogy with the kids sometimes to help them understand what it means to be adopted into sonship and the weight that that term carries, adopted. Braden is my son. I could forsake him. I could give him up, right? But if I adopted somebody and I still had Braden, I could give Braden up, but by law, I could not give up my adopted child. You guys see the weight of that word adopted now in these terms and what they're talking and writing about? I know it seems like it's so far away, but it's really not that far away that this was written. That terminology hasn't been stretched too far. And so that term of you are adopted into sonship means the Lord will never forsake you. The Lord will never give you up. He will never leave you. And that is really cool. That brings me hope, and that brings me peace. You will also, because you were part of that family, what's been announced and proclaimed over you through the life of Jesus is that you get to share in the inheritance of glory. That when you go up to heaven, you get a part of that. That's not why you do it. You don't do it for that reward or that inheritance. You do it because we love Jesus. But you get a part of that glory. You're a part of the family. And that glory is heaven and being near God and being there the whole time. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And because of that, and you were adopted into that family, you're grafted into that family. You're part of the holy family in that sense. That you get a part of that inheritance. In Ephesians, we see that. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praises of his glory. We see a lot of responses here. The shepherds, if you flip over to Luke 2:11 through 20, we know that when the angels came to the shepherds, that they were there and they said, go see the thing that has just happened. Your Savior is born. They didn't say, wait, hold on. Let me gather my sheep, put them back in the pen. I forgot my shepherd's staff. Let me straighten my cloak. They didn't do any of that. As we read in there, they were announced, go see the thing that has happened. And they went immediately. They went right away. No pause. They didn't hesitate. In Mary, we saw the humble acceptance of the proclamation. In Elizabeth, we saw the exclamation, the excitement. And in John, we see the joy. The proclamation that has happened didn't come lightly. It's time. They were all ready. They were all anticipating that. We see the different types of acceptance, and that's okay. And the acceptance that you have for the proclamation over you. So the questions I leave you this morning are this. How are you accepting his proclamation, his announcement over you, your freedom? You're part of the family. Are you ready for the inheritance? Are you sharing it? Are you telling everybody else about the announcement that's over them? Because it's given to you, but also as I say you, I say the grand you. Are we out there sharing the proclamation? Are you out in the middle of Park Rapids saying, hear ye, make way for the Lord? That's the hard question. Because sometimes you're like, man, I'm not. Does that mean? It doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It doesn't mean you're not accepting anything. It just means that you probably need to get out there and get excited like John. Accept his proclamation and leap for joy. Are you anticipating the next one? Are you anticipating the next announcement? Maybe your season has taken a break and God's put you back into that waiting room. It's okay. You've got another appointment. Are you reading the 10-year-old magazine? Are you stuck in nostalgia? Or are you anticipating that nurse to come out, for God to come out and say, you, it's time for you. Are you ready? Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your announcement, for your proclamation, Lord. You gave it to Joseph in quiet. You gave it to Mary in quiet. But Lord, you made a resounding sound on the hill. It was not quiet when you died for our sins. Lord, for when you died and you took upon our sins, and yet you rose again, the announcement was proclaimed over all of us. Lord, I pray that today as we read through our Bibles and we study to get nearer to you and we talk to our friends, Lord, that we get excited, that we have a humble acceptance, Lord, that we go out there and we exclaim your name to everybody. Hear ye, for the Lord is near. Lord, I pray that you give us that strength. I pray that you give us the eyes for the opportunities. Lord, I pray that we accept that announcement and proclamation over us, fully and wholly. In your precious and holy name, Jesus Christ, we all said, amen.